It's good to like each other. It'd be terrible if we didn't like each other, right? Yeah, so today we begin our Christmas journey called In Breaking, The Kingdom Come at Christmas. And it may seem like an odd word to be using at Christmas time, In Breaking. But the truth is that Christmas is all about God choosing to break into the fearful and stubborn and resistant world of humanity, the story of humanity. And so we like to focus, don't we, on God's love for the world at Christmas. But I want to suggest to you this morning at the beginning that it can be best described as God's fierce love. A love that confronts, a love that contends. I mean, how many of you have ever heard of the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season? You ever heard, right? You heard that one, right? We use it a lot, right? And you know what? This phrase, I think, really softens the real reason that Jesus came. Because the Apostle John tells us explicitly why Jesus came to earth. It says in 1 John, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's why he came. That's why he came. And so God came that first Christmas, and he powerfully confronted the darkness in the world and the darkness that existed in people's hearts. And he broke in to the world of darkness. And so, you know, at the beginning, right at the beginning, as we're thinking about Christmas, you thinking about Christmas? All right. How many are thinking about it and panicking? No, just kidding. Right at the outset of this season, I want to offer you a challenge. I want you to be open to God breaking into your life this Christmas. And so I invite you, as we begin this journey over the next 4 weeks, to come each week with an open heart and with an expectant heart. Purpose not to let Christmas just be another routine or familiar Christmas to you. You know, most of us have listened to the Christmas themes of hope and peace and love and joy. We've heard those repeatedly, haven't we? Over and over and over again. But listening and experiencing are two completely different things, aren't they? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to deeply penetrate our hearts, your heart, my heart. And where we need hope, where we need joy, where we need peace, I'm going to invite us all to just respond, encourage you to respond. I invite you to respond, to receive this Christmas what God wants to give to you and he wants to give to me. All right? Do we have a deal? Do we have a deal? All right. Let's respond. Let's do that. So I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning, and we're going to look at something that we all need. Hope. Hope. We all need hope, don't we? And we see hope rising in one particular couple, in Zechariah and Elizabeth. We want to read Luke's take on Christmas, beginning chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read it together. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John, and he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked the angel, "Well, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remaining unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. And she said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Let's pray. God, we invite you to come. We pray that your word will do what it does best, penetrate our hearts, bringing powerful messages and powerful work into our lives and our hearts. We pray that we receive, that we be receptive to your word, that we wouldn't be hard or calloused or even familiar with, God, the Christmas account, but we would see it with new and fresh eyes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, for many people, they look forward to Christmas. How many people look forward to Christmas? Right, some people are like crazy about this stuff, right? They really look forward to Christmas. For them, it represents happy times with family and food and fudge, right? Right? Gift giving. It's chock full of good memories, you know, with family. And it's such a wonderful time, Christmas. But for others, however, Christmas is just an intense reminder of lost loved ones, or they can't celebrate with their family because they're not close by. And instead of feeling joy, many people feel overwhelmed. And they feel unbearable anxiety and depression. For some, Christmas is a time of hopelessness and loneliness. And this is a reality I think we need to acknowledge. That Christmas, for many, isn't all that wonderful. It isn't all that happy and joyful. For some, it really runs much deeper than not getting the present that they wanted. For some, their life has been decimated by disappointment. Their expectations have all but evaporated, you know, from life, and hope just eludes them altogether, and they're just not really connecting with Christmas. And you know, as we begin reading Luke's gospel, we see full-on hopelessness folded into this. Hopelessness are words like despair, aren't they? Words like despondency. Words like desperation. One writer said, hopelessness is when you come to that place where you have totally given up and you feel you can do no more. That even God or even those that you have depended upon have failed you. And we see this very first Christmas during that it occurred during a very dark time in the life of Israel and in the life of this elderly couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we find the Jews, they're trapped under Roman rule. We see people were guilty and guilt-ridden by this corrupt religious system that was full of proud and bigoted leaders. And for hundreds of years, God was silent and did not speak to his people. No visions, no prophets to deliver a word from God. God seemed silent to the people of Israel. And it was in this whole web of loneliness and hopelessness that we find Zechariah and we find Elizabeth. We find this godly couple suffering from the emotional pains of childlessness. It's kind of a hard word to say. Childlessness. Right? But you know what? The Bible gives us a lot of insight into this priestly couple. One says that they were well along in years. Right? Most likely meaning that they were at least 60 years of age. At least 60 years of age. Don't you... I want to ask you, don't you love the Bible? Don't you just love the Bible, right? In some places it's written in these very raw, graphic ways. And in other places it softens really the reality, you know, of what's going on. So, because you know, it just wouldn't read as well if it said, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were really, really old. It sounds better to say, they were well along in years. Doesn't that sound better? Yeah. Yeah. So they were older, if you will. The Bible gives us insight into that. But they are also living with this lifetime of disappointment and shame. The Bible says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. And these words imply a heaviness, don't they? A hopelessness. Barrenness was typically, in that day, considered a sign of God's disfavor and punishment. So that meant that this couple lived their whole lives believing God was punishing them for some sin. And for sure, everyone else believed that there was some secret sin in their lives. But their friends dare not bring it up because that would only add to the pain that they're already experiencing. And so there was this lifetime of disappointment, this lifetime of shame. To be unable to produce children, did you know, was an acceptable ground for divorce? Zechariah could have gotten rid of Elizabeth and he could have married a younger woman who could have children and he could have gotten that curse off his back. But we know that he didn't. All that to say that there was a deep sadness and that there was a deep hopelessness in both of their lives. And I wanted to say this, if we could just pause for just a moment. I think there's a good point in there for us as Christians today. You know, Elizabeth and Zechariah do provide us with some perspective. Their story and the stories of other men and women in the Bible show that being devoted to God doesn't guarantee you and I won't experience heartache. It doesn't guarantee that we won't experience difficulties in life. We could be as devoted as we possibly could be, and we still could experience heartache in our lives. And some of you could really relate to that and know that to be true. But you know, there's another place where hopelessness was setting in particularly Zechariah's heart and life. You know, scholars estimate that there may have been as many as 20,000 priests in that day. 20,000 priests. They were divided long ago by King David into 24 divisions, each division having nearly 1,000 members each. Twice a year, one division would leave their families and travel to Jerusalem and serve in the temple 1 week at a time. But only one time a year, right, one priest would enter into this place called the Holy of Holies behind this curtain and represent all the people. And it was there that he would offer incense and a sacrifice for the sins of all the people. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a priest, and a scary one at that. Right? Because there was a strong possibility that if you didn't follow the right protocol, that you wouldn't make it out of there alive. And everybody would know it, right? Because on the priest's robes, they sewed bells. Bells were sewn into the bottom of the priest's hem on the bottom of their robe, right? So everybody's listening for the bells, right? The Christmas bells. And so it was a very scary opportunity, but an opportunity nonetheless of a lifetime. And the priest basically drew straws, you know, for the job. So if you drew in favor, that in your favor, that meant that you had the favor of God. It was your time. God says this is your time, and that he had chosen you to come into his presence and represent all of the people. And you know what? Time was running out for Zechariah. Remember, he's well along in years. He's yet to have this opportunity. Time is running out. Odds are not in his favor. 20,000 priests. You only get to do it once. Until that one day, right? That one day, he was chosen. He was chosen. And we know, don't we, that while he was in that Holy of Holies, God spoke to him. God spoke a word. He broke his silence and spoke a word to Zechariah through the angel Gabriel. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. Don't you think that was an understatement? And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. You know, God promises to bring them out of their personal darkness and bring them out of their personal hopelessness. But you know what? Zechariah kind of was hedging. He's like questioning a little bit. All right? You can't blame him for questioning. You know, how many know that hopelessness casts a shadow of doubt on any new news? If you're hopeless, if that's your predominant default, is more of a hopeless state, any new news, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Right? I'm not so sure about that. It's probably not true. There's got to be a catch somewhere. Hopeless people live that way, don't they? And so he says, how will I know this for sure? How will I know this for certain? I'm an old man. And he knew the husbandly words. He says, and my wife is well advanced in years. He's smart, right? I'm old, but my wife, she just, yeah. And we know, hey, the angel gets offended. Gabriel gets offended. He's like, hey, I've come all the way down here, and you don't believe me. This ain't no costume here, right? Yeah. And so Gabriel, he's like, oh, man. Seems kind of harsh, but Zechariah is silenced. Can't speak till the baby is born. And then he comes out, right? He comes out and he plays Bible charades with people. You know, that's like, it had to be a pretty funny picture. If you were out on the outside looking, that had to be pretty funny. I thought what we do is have some fun this morning, experience firsthand what that might have looked like. So I need two volunteers who actually enjoy charades. All right, who enjoys charades? I need two volunteers who enjoys charades and don't mind making a fool of themselves right in front of a bunch of people. Please help me. This would be so much fun. We need two people, please. All right, we got one. All right, two people. We got one. I need one more. All right, I need one more. Zechariah. Lynn. All right, very good. All right, so you over here. You're over here on my right. All right, you like charades?
Sure.
Hey, what's your name?
Misty.
Misty likes charades. And Lynn? Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing this. Right? So I thought it might be fun to just have this firsthand, you know, look. What would it be like for Zechariah to step out among the people, not be able to speak, have him try to communicate, you know, what happened, you know, to him while he's in the Holy of Holies. So you guys ready? Let's do this. Let's try this. So you're Zechariah number one. You're Zechariah number two. It doesn't mean you're less than. It just means that you're second. All right? You got it? All right, so we're going to go with Zechariah number one, all right? Remember, angel talks to you. You can't speak at all, all right? You had something very terrifying happen to you, all right? But some really good stuff, and you're trying to communicate to all of us. We're eager to hear what you have to say, all right? You ready? All right. I was in the temple praying. And I was just lighting the candles in the incense. And I was getting everything set up for worship. When this really big, shiny angel appeared. And he told me that God heard our prayers. Oh, I'm impressed. All right. Good job. Just give her a hand, right? Stay right there. Because you got to watch this too, right? All right. You got to watch. She didn't watch it. All right. So I'll sit here. All right. And the angel said to Elizabeth, Elizabeth and I are going to have a baby. And when I said it wasn't possible, he touched my throat. So I couldn't speak. Not until the baby is born. I should have mentioned this was G-rated. Elizabeth's never going to believe this. Okay, very good. Give Lynn a hand. Misty, yeah, give him a great big hand. Thank you so much for helping me. It's good to laugh. Kind of the way it is, isn't it? Ladies, you can use that. I was pregnant, then I had it. That's all you need. Thanks for volunteering, making it fun today. All right. So we know this experience of Zechariah was a very interesting one, and God met him at the point of his hopelessness, and Elizabeth's as well. You know, hopelessness involves many feelings. There's the feeling of being dejected, There's the feeling of despair. There's the feeling of futility. There's the passive abandonment of things changing. And in fact, when you come to the place of hopelessness, you've totally given up. And you feel nothing can be done to help you. Not even God can help you. And you know what? You don't get there overnight. You don't get to a hopeless state overnight. It all starts with too much waiting. You wait, don't you? And wait. You wait, and you wait, and you wait for God to answer your prayer. You wait for God to change the circumstances. You wait for some break to come. You wait for some favor to come your way, but it doesn't, and so you wait some more, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And in that process of waiting, something then takes place when you don't see a bright future in, you know, down the road. Something takes place. Your heart gets sick. I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. A tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. And when you feel that hope is lost, you've done all the waiting and the waiting and the waiting, and you've come to that place where your heart just gets just sick, you begin to lean toward depression, and you become cynical about life, about your life, and you grow increasingly bitter, and sometimes you just become mean-spirited towards others. And it all comes from hopelessness. And if you've ever met someone like this, who is like this, more than likely somewhere along the line, they've lost hope in their life. They lost hope. And so there's this progression of hopelessness that takes place. And you know, when we use the word hope, it usually means an optimistic feeling that all will turn out well, right? It's more along the lines of wishing. A woman says, I hope my boyfriend gives me a diamond ring. Or a man says, I hope my team does well this year. Right? We just described right there in those two phrases the difference between a man and a woman. Right? It's this wish that we have of this preferred outcome. We hope something doesn't happen, or we hope something does happen. That's the way that we use that word hope. But when the Bible uses the word hope, it's not just a personal preference for some positive outcome. It's the absolute assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. And it's a big departure from the way we use hope. Because most of the time when we use hope, we're just wishing. We're just wishing. I wish it was better. I wish this would turn out right. We're not really sure it will. Well, we hope it will. We sure wish it will. But the Bible's different. The Bible says that what God has promised, it's the assurance that what God has promised will actually take place. But there's another way that biblical hope is different from our version of hope. You see, when the Bible uses the word hope, it's not hoping in something. It's hoping in a person. It's hoping in someone, not something. See, the primary hope of Israel was for a Messiah. The primary hope of God's people was a Savior. It was a righteous, ruling king who would come and would rescue them. This is what the prophet prophesied about. This is what he was hoping is. He said, for to us, something good's going to happen. No, right? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And so, 800 years before there's a manger, 800 years before there's a wise man, before there was a star in the sky, 800 years before an angel made the announcement of the birth of Jesus, Isaiah wrote about true hope, Christmas hope, the hope of the person of Jesus Christ. Hope is a person. It's not just in something. We're not just hoping in something takes place. We're hoping in a person. I was hoping for one amen on that one. We've all heard stories, haven't we, of people trapped in the rubble of an earthquake or in a collapsed mine. Just terrifying stories, haven't we, of people we know are trapped down underneath rock in an air pocket. And what they hope for is not something, right? They don't hope for something. They're not hoping in something. You know, when you're beneath the rubble, what do you hope in? You hope for a person, don't you? You hope that someone will hear you. Some person will rescue you. I mean, it's just not just vague hope of that they all, you know, oh, I hope I'll get out of here. No, you're hoping in a person to come. You see, this is what the Bible, when it talks about hope, the Bible always focuses in, narrows it down, funnels it down to the person of Jesus. All of our hope in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible describes the whole world trapped in their sin. The heavy debris of their sin is weighing them down. They're separated. It's separating them from God who made them. Every man and woman is living in the darkness of their sin. They're helpless. They're unable to do anything to help themselves. They're without God. They're without hope. They're without any light. That's the way that the Bible describes you and me. All of humanity. And the people living at the first Christmas were hoping, they were hoping that a political savior would brighten their days, right? But what they had forgotten was is that they needed a savior for their dark soul. You see, the Christmas message is all about the person of Jesus breaking through the rubble and rescuing and giving new life and hope to the hopeless and helpless men and women like you and like me. That's what Christmas is all about. Is that the inbreaking of Jesus through the debris, through the rubble, through the rocks of our sin and darkness. I think that those first people during the time of Jesus had forgotten the song in Psalm 130 that we read earlier. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is what? Is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. You You see, Jesus not only broke into the lives of an elderly couple and brought them hope, Jesus broke into the world, bringing a permanent and lasting hope for all of humanity. Do we believe that? I'm assuming we do. We're here because we believe that. And all who reach up and all who reach out for the person of Jesus will be rescued, will be forgiven. And he will light up our lives in this present world, and he'll give us a bright future in heaven. Amen? This is not a wish. This is something we can be certain of. This is a certainty, something that will take place. I like what Paul Tripp says. He said, we all need to be rescued from the rebellion of our own hearts. There is only one hope for us all, the amazing, forgiving, rescuing, transforming, and delivering grace of Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Not it. Not that something. Not that changing circumstance. Jesus is our only hope. He's our only hope. So Elizabeth, Zechariah, for sure their lives were changed, weren't they? Their lives were completely changed from hopelessness to one of hope. To hope. Changed their whole countenance. Changed their whole attitude. Changed their whole perspective. Well, let me finish this morning by getting personal. We can talk about Zechariah and Elizabeth all day long. We can talk about the world. It's fairly easy to keep it at that level, isn't it? It's easy to keep it at a safe level of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when we get down to the question of, well, what about you? What about me? Then things become a little different. We are a people who need hope too, right? We are a people that need hope too. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you're single and you want to be married, but you have little hope, right? Maybe you're married and your marriage hasn't turned out the way that you thought, and you don't really see any light through the rubble of your marriage. Maybe you're dealing with chronic pain in your life. Maybe you've prayed and prayed and prayed about something, but God hasn't answered it yet. Maybe you think the Lord has forgotten you in your hopeless situation. I want to finish with good news today, right? God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten. Jesus hasn't forgotten. He does impossible things for people every day. Every day. And you may be the next. You may be the next person whom Jesus breaks into your life with his life and with hope. And you know, if anything, this up in years priestly couple teaches us that God is a God of surprises, isn't he? God can show up at any moment. And we can place our confidence and our hope in this, that God can show up when he wants to, however he wants to, and it's always usually in a powerful way. This couple teaches us also to expect Jesus to break in. And until he does, what did Zechariah and Elizabeth do? They kept on faithfully living for him, patiently waiting for him to work. Hoping in Jesus keeps us moving forward in faith, doesn't it? It motivates us to keep pressing into Jesus, hoping keeps us motivated that God will break in to our lives. So this is what I want to do this morning, the way I finish our time. I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come in prayer. But I also want to invite you to ask God to break into your heart. Is there a bitter complaint in your spirit? Are there places where you are buried under the rubble of hopelessness? Are there places where you feel like things have caved in on you? I want you to pray and ask God to break into your heart. And what I want to do this morning is I want to invite some of our prayer team forward. They're going to just spread out here in the front. And if you need Jesus to break into your life and bring hope, you need God to do something big. You maybe even need God to do something impossible for you. I want you to come up and I want you to reach out to Jesus with one of these prayer team members. Okay? You're right. You're fine. You need God to come and break in some way. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God. Reach through the rubble. Reach through that tight hole and pull somebody out today. Give them hope. I just invite you to come, those of you that really need to have some hope, need to reach out to Jesus. Just invite you to come. Where's that bitter complaint in your spirit? Where have you waited and waited and waited and waited and nothing has taken place? And you need God to break in. Come and invite Him. Just invite you to come. Yeah. We respond to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It feels dark in your life. Things have closed up. You don't really have any hope. You need some circumstances to change. Or you know you need some things to change in your own life. Just invite Jesus to come, break into your life. Who'd come? I need Jesus to break into my life. Who would come? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. going to keep praying. We're going to just have some of our team stay up here. We're going to keep praying or be available for prayer. Just invite you to stand right now. Jesus brings hope to the hopeless. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible. And he longs and wants to break into our lives. Just like that first Christmas. So Jesus, we just declare today that we are willing for you to break into our lives. We are open. We are receptive to you breaking into our lives in big and powerful ways. We thank you that you are hope. You are our only hope. And we place our hope in you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you that just want to slip up here and get some prayer, you're more than welcome to do that. I just invite you to come up, slip up here, get some prayer. Be blessed, be hopeful, hope in Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.